So the work that I have the opportunity to share with you this afternoon is one snippet of a puzzle, a story that this team listed here on this slide has been working together on since 2007. This has probably been one of the most creative and rewarding journeys I've been on with this group. Aside from those relationships, I don't have any others to disclose. Our team, our research team, is a multi-site. We're located throughout the U.S. and Canada now. All of us have a shared common training as occupational therapists. We have all worked with children and youth with varying diverse abilities in various contexts, homeschool and community. And some of us bring the, including myself, bring the lived experience of parenting a child with or at risk for a disability. There's a growing rise, a number, prevalence of children and youth with disabilities both nationally and internationally. And participation, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little here, has been highlighted as an important health indicator for diverse populations of children both with and without disabilities. It's not only been highlighted as an important health indicator, but also it's been hypothesized as an important means to positive development of important skills and relationships. And I think it's an important reminder that children with disabilities do develop over the course of their lives. As it's currently conceptualized, children's participation is influenced by factors that can generally fall into one of three categories. Child-related factors such as the child's age, gender, functional profile. Family-related factors such as household income, parental education, and environmental factors that have been written about a lot in the literature as extending beyond the physical dimensions of an environment to the social, attitudinal, and institutional features of those environments, but also the demands of activities themselves and the resources that families have available to them, such as time, money, information, and knowledge about activities available to participate in. Prior literature suggested that children and youth with disabilities are often restricted in their participation, particularly outside of the home. And in light of that, children spend considerable out-of-school time at home, but there hasn't been a comprehensive and detailed sort of description of what their participation patterns look like in that setting. And the idea being that if we had a more detailed knowledge base about what supports and barriers exist to participation in specific activities within the home, that similar types of activities might be supported in the school and community environments by understanding potential modifiable factors that influence participation in a similar type of activity but in a different environment. And so that brings us to this small snippet here of our work, and which is centered around two questions. They're equally important, that's why they're both labeled one, which is how is the participation of children with and without disabilities the same or different in the home setting, and what types of environmental factors support and challenge participation within this home setting for children with and without disabilities? The data for this particular study comes from data that was collected in 2010 over a 5 to 6 month period in which we used convenient sampling methods to go out and recruit parents of children with or without disabilities in the U.S. and Canada. We used a variety of methods. We used magazine advertisements. We recruited practitioners who worked with children with various abilities, both through national conferences, but also state associations. And then we used a snowballing effect from there to recruit more and more parents into the study. So the results that I'll present to you today are secondary analyses of data from this study in 2010. Parents were accessed a web link off of recruitment materials, came into a password-protected website. They generated a profile and filled out a demographic questionnaire and also a new questionnaire called the Participation in Environment Measure for Children and Youth, also known as the PEMCY. The Penn CY is a new measure on the market. Came out in 2010. It's the first measure of its kind in terms of combining assessment for children of their participation and their environment. And the way it's broken down is there are three sections to the Penn CY: home, school, and community. Each section has items related to, or ask parents to evaluate their child's participation, but also evaluate their perceptions of supports and barriers in that specific setting that affect or impact their child's participation. So listed here is to give you a glimpse of the type, the number of items. And I think it's important to probably highlight here that this measure was initially designed to address a need in the field for comprehensive but feasible measures of participation and environment for population level, sort of large scale research purposes. And that was probably one of the most difficult things that the team grappled with, was how do you develop something that's comprehensive but at the same time feasible? And so in this survey, we describe or we present parents with broad categories of activities, not discrete types of activities. And based on our work with parents of children with diverse disabilities, we ask parents about how often or how frequently their child participates, the level of their child's involvement from minimally to very, and whether or not they desire change in their child's participation, yes or no. And the desire for change question is to tap into their level of satisfaction with their child's participation. Listed here is some of our initial psychometric evidence to validate the PEM CY. And again, these numbers are suggesting that it's a reliable, valid measure, but for use in large-scale research purposes specifically. And based on our validation study, reasonably feasible. So we're looking at about 20 to 30 minutes to complete the survey. For this specific study to look at patterns of home participation, we ran ANOVAs to examine differences in PEMCY responses and scores between children with and without disabilities, and we controlled for factors of age and income that have been reported in the literature as being associated with participation restriction. The PEMCY enables you to obtain summary level data, but also item level data. And for clinical purposes and for decision making purposes, I want to highlight both the summary level results and comparisons, but also the item level comparisons. And for item level, we use descriptive stats, and what I will show you are a series of radar plots that I think help to visualize the patterns that we saw between these two groups in the home setting. So our sample, briefly, we had mostly mothers reporting or participating in our study. We had close to two-thirds of our sample drawn from Canada, particularly the Ontario, Toronto area region. Average age of our children were slightly less than 12 years, around 11 years. Equal representation of children both with and without disabilities. One thing we did ask about in the demographic questionnaire and that we are working on figuring out how to dig into deeper are the functional problems of the children that were sampled. So we asked parents to report up to three diagnosed conditions that their child may or may have, and those are listed here. The top three are of the parents' first reported diagnosis are listed here. But we also asked about functional problems and to the extent to which a problem was the magnitude of that problem, whether it was little, moderate, or big. So here are the summary scores and comparisons for the two groups. So on the left-hand column, you see the types of summary scores that are generated from this instrument, the PEMCY. And what's in that box towards the right is highlighting to you significant differences between the groups of children with and without disabilities across all of those summary scores generated on the PEMCY, with effect sizes from small to large, the largest being, and what I think is perhaps quite striking, number of barriers And we're talking about the home environment, which is suggested to be, relatively speaking, one of the most supportive environments in that parents have more control, relatively speaking, to their child's participation at home relative to the school or community. So then, looking closer beyond the summary level data into the item level data. So this is a radar plot, and around this spider web are the broad categories of activities that we asked parents about, right? So, and then in blue and in red are the responses of the two groups. So the blue are the responses of parents of children with disabilities, and the red are the responses of parents of children without. And if you just sort of glance at this, I think it's a good way to get a visual representation of the percentage, in this case, of children who never participate in activities at home. And you have over 20% of parents of children with disabilities reporting their child never participates in homework, school preparation, household chores, socializing with technology. Of those children who do participate, this is displaying across those activities at home the responses of the two groups with respect to the average frequency of participation in home-based activities. Parents of children with disabilities are reporting their children as less frequently participating, but the lines look fairly similar. If we look at mean involvement, again, parents of children with disabilities are reporting their child is on average less involved in home-based activities. What's perhaps a little makes me still chuckle is when I look at the exception of computer and video games, watching TV, videos, and DVDs, and socializing using technology, that there are parents of children with disabilities that are reporting actual increased levels of involvement. Then we asked about parent perceptions of environmental supports and barriers to participation at home. This is a radar plot, again, around the spider web are the various factors that we ask about. And you can see the two groups differ significantly with respect to resources and availability of help. And this is perhaps the most striking. So this is the percent of parents who perceive an item as a barrier to home-based participation. And again, this is at home. And that contributes to how striking it is. Parents of children with disabilities are significantly reporting that the demands of the very activities that take place in the home present barriers to their child's participation, as well as the help and services that they need to engage their child. What do these results sort of tell? So this is a descriptive look at what the patterns might be with a convenience sample of over 500 parents about what the participation patterns might be at home. And what we find and what we are beginning to find are that children with disabilities participate in significantly fewer activities at home, that there are greater differences in frequency and involvement for more complex activities, or what we call as occupational therapists, occupations. And differences are also seen in terms of the complexity, but also the social nature of those activities at home. And so before I was mentioning to you that part of doing the work and exploring home participation patterns was to see, you know, what we might take with this information and apply to other settings. So if we see differences at home in participation patterns for activities that are more social in nature, those same type of activities occur outside the home, right? And so getting together with peers outside of class and in the community are items that we ask about in those other settings of the PEMCY. And then parents of children with disabilities are more likely to perceive environmental features as barriers to participation in the home. And the most common types of barriers when we ask about a range of environmental factors are activity demands and resource availability. We do have some limitations in this study. The validation was done online. We have no way of knowing if responses may or may not have been different had we engaged parents in a paper-based version of the survey instrument versus online. And we also have sampling limitations, and I described to you sort of how we obtained our sample, but we do have limitations demographically with that sample, and additional validation is needed and is underway. Our work beginning in the development of the PEMCY and thinking about its clinical and research applications. So we initially designed the PEMCY for research purposes, but it's our thought that perhaps using the PEMCY may open the door for discussion in a potentially a clinical context, for example, about participation-focused goals, specific ones to guide intervention, with a particular focus on areas that are more complex and more social in nature. And that learning about supports within the home environment can provide OTs or other practitioners that have a vested interest and parents with potential strategies to implement in other settings outside the home where barriers are encountered. And that real expertise and interest in modifying activities and environments themselves may position us to better assist parents in meeting the specific demands of home, school, and community settings to support children and youth participation. To give you a glimpse of where the team is headed with this work, the measure, we have been funded through the Canadian Institute of Health Research on a knowledge translation grant. So we're developing a web-based hub where the measure will, and its various forms will be housed free of charge for parents, but also practitioners and researchers. And so we're developing a knowledge hub, which will not only include the tools, but also resources and knowledge that we are working with parents to generate and house through that hub. And then in thinking about the utility of the PEMCY, we're carrying out work to explore its utility beyond a research context. Given the comprehensive nature of the PEMCY, we're looking at it particularly for use in program evaluation, by use by nonprofits, community-based agencies, or in use in service planning. And so this slide just depicts an approach we're undertaking now, where we're getting PEMCY data, generating summary reports and case reports, and then taking it back to providers to get their input about what pieces of information are potentially relevant and useful, and how they might proceed in working with a current client. And then, of course, my baby is developing a version that could be relevant and appropriate for younger children. So the PEMCY is designed for school-age children, 5 to 17 years of age, and we have a young children's participation and environment measure that is this week about to be in its final form and ready for validation. And I just put up here a slide for information